Now, in the case of Rodriguez against Woodall.
Morning, Your Honor.
Mr. Kamen.
I just wanted to discuss the Brady issue. And if, obviously, we have time. Go on. The Brady issue really comes down to the question of would have been acquitted or might have been acquitted. And the judge instructed the jury that it needed to find that the plaintiff would have been acquitted at the criminal trial. Brady's standard is that there would be a reasonable probability that he would have been acquitted.
Did you submit a proposed instruction based on
Excuse
Brady?
Excuse me, I did not. I didn't realize that there was going to be this question. And
why shouldn't we just consider the whole issue waived under those circumstances?
The judge didn't ask me to submit case law on that basis. I explained to him.
Judges don't have to ask parties to submit jury instructions. The rule says that if you don't do it on your own, the point is waived. I repeat my colleague's question. Why isn't this matter completely gone?
I brought this issue up at the the instructions conference initially, and I didn't know that there was going to be that issue. And then I brought it up again in the trial court. The judge found that this issue was not a proper issue. I guess at that point he did not direct me to bring up case law. He'd already ruled on it. And
In litigation, judges don't direct parties to protect their position. Parties either do or don't protect their position.
Your Honor, I believe then that the standard, I guess, would be a plain error. If I waive this issue, the judge would find that I'd waive this issue because I believe that this is such a significant error that Your Honors should take this, that you should rule on this, that there was a reasonable probability and that was the instruction that should have been given. The civil jury had to mind read what the criminal jury would have done. Would this have been sufficient evidence? The evidence that was Brady material, or would they find that the additional evidence was sufficient evidence to find that find him the plaintiff guilty anyway, and
there was lots of arguing about his credibility, right?
So there was a question of the witness's credibility at the criminal trial, and there was that would be the stage where there would be an issue. But the issue was that there wasn't a realization of why there was an issue as to credibility, and had the civil jury realized that they could find, that they might find, that he was, could weigh the credibility of the plaintiff versus the credibility of the a criminal witness taken in light of the fact that the police officer had intimidated him, or there was evidence that he had intimidated him, that the jurors, the civil jurors, could have said, well, hey, it's possible that they would have acquitted him. It's possible that they wouldn't have acquitted him. And it seems that the had they had the standard of reasonable probability in front of them, then they could have made, they could have decided it and not had to feel the compulsion to, that they were obligated to mind read, and they were obligated to say, hey, they would have found an acquittal here. And I don't believe that based on the fact that they were required to be mind readers, I don't find that the judge was being fair about it, and that's why I brought up the question. And, Your Honors, I'm sorry that I didn't bring up case law at that time, but I believe that plain error should require a reversal and a new trial. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Kamen. Mr. Grunewald.
May it please the court. Mr. Rodriguez was convicted of murder by a jury based on the testimony of an eyewitness, Andrew Bolton. And Mr. Bolton testified, well, Mr. Bolton first identified Mr. Rodriguez in a photo array, next at a lineup, in his grand jury testimony, and at the criminal trial in which Mr. Rodriguez was convicted, and also in this case, in his deposition testimony. Mr. Rodriguez now claims that former Detective John Woodall coerced Mr. Bolton at the lineup and that caused Mr. Rodriguez to receive an unfair trial. This morning I will address only the question of whether the jury was properly instructed, and as Your Honors have already raised the issue of waiver, we did argue that in our brief. However, if Your Honors do reach the issue of the merits, that's what I'll be addressing this morning. On the balance of the issues, we do rest on our briefs.
Was the case really tried on a Brady violation theory, or was it tried on a theory of a suggestive, unduly suggestive ID that was impermissibly admitted at the criminal trial, or what exactly was the theory of the case? I'm having a little trouble with that.
Mr. Rodriguez went to trial on what he called a Brady claim, and what we see on appeal, he is named a Brady claim. It's understood in that context by looking at what Brady requires in a criminal trial, which is that you're entitled to receive a new trial if you can show that there was suppression of exculpatory evidence that was material. But that wasn't the theory of the civil case. And as we've tried to address in our brief, that gets at, as the Supreme Court later explained in Kyle's, the issue of materiality under Brady does not require a criminal defendant to show that he would not have been convicted. And for that reason, a civil plaintiff, like Mr. Rodriguez here, if he shows nothing but a Brady violation and nothing more, he's not carried his burden in the civil case to show that he was injured by the defendant's conduct. In answer to Your Honor's question, just in that context, I think the theory that Mr. Rodriguez was trying to present was that there was indeed exculpatory evidence, and that took the form, and under his theory, that there was coercion at a lineup and that was not disclosed. It wasn't disclosed to the prosecutors. It wasn't disclosed to the defense, as was required by Brady. And under that theory, on appeal, Mr. Rodriguez thinks he simply has to go through and show that he might not have been convicted and he's done. But as we argued, compared to a criminal defendant in a criminal trial raising a Brady issue, compared to that, what a civil plaintiff has to show is that there was suppression of exculpatory evidence that caused him to be injured. And in the same way that every tort plaintiff is going to have to show that he's been injured and the extent of his damages, Mr. Rodriguez here had to show that he suffered an injury and damages as a result of Mr. Woodall's misconduct. If he had showed misconduct and no injury, specific questions which the jury verdict don't provide us here in this record, but if he had showed misconduct and an injury, and I'm sorry, and no injury, he'd be limited to nominal damages, but that was not raised in this case. What he's always wanted in this case is compensatory damages, to be made whole for having been convicted. And his theory is that it's Woodall's misconduct that resulted in that conviction.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here. The Brady evidence at issue was evidence surrounding the circumstances, or about the circumstances surrounding the ID, which might or might not have led to the suppression of the ID, which might have led to an acquittal. I mean, I'm trying to connect the dots about how this would have gone in the criminal case, but for Officer Woodall's misconduct, even assuming it occurred.
The question, had it been raised, which it was not, by Mr. Rodriguez in the criminal trial, is exactly as Your Honor has put it, I would say, save for using the term but for Woodall's misconduct. It is, as Your Honor just said, the standard under Brady is if it might have ended in a different result, I believe is the exact language. So if in the criminal trial he had raised an issue of misconduct and showed it, then all he would have to show to be given a new trial, to have shown that trial was unfair, is simply to show that it might have ended in a different result. But what that does not answer is whether or not you can say, and what he's required to prove as a plaintiff in a civil case, causation, which is that he suffered an injury as a result, and that is more properly characterized, I believe, as a but-for Woodall's misconduct, if it occurred. There is an injury, which is a conviction, and damages that flow from that. And the alternative that Mr. Rodriguez on appeal has raised is the question of using simply that Brady materiality standard of might have had a different result. It is not a standard that would answer the question of was it more likely than not that Woodall's conduct was the cause of any injury suffered by Mr. Rodriguez. Civil juries every day have to answer that type of question. It's not an unduly hypothetical question. Was it more likely than not that because of a defendant's conduct they suffered an injury? And in that sense, this is a normal civil standard. It's the standard that the district court properly instructed the jury at the very beginning of the trial, saying a plaintiff has to be held to a standard preponderance of the evidence, and he reiterated that in his final instruction, saying every element of Mr. Rodriguez's claim has to be shown by that standard. And the only intelligible way to do that on the last question, if Mr. Woodall's misconduct had been disclosed, the only intelligible way to look at that is to ask, would he have been convicted? Would he have been acquitted, if that had been disclosed? And not to ask, maybe, would it have been different? To award damages on any less of a showing doesn't result in compensation. It results in a windfall. And that's not what Section 1983 is for. If Your Honors have no further questions, we respectfully ask that the jury verdict entered in favor of John Woodall and the city be affirmed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Kamen?
Yes.
The trial judge did refer to this as a Brady case, and Brady refer to exculpatory evidence, which is why we're discussing exculpatory evidence. And the prosecutor has a duty to turn over exculpatory evidence, but when the prosecutor can't possibly know of the exculpatory evidence and the police officer withholds that and intentionally withholds that, then there is a problem. And the issue here would be whether whether there's the exculpatory evidence would have been, would have led to an acquittal. Now, the question, that's a question for the civil jury, then it has to mind read. It says, well, hey, there would have been an acquittal, or it says, hey, there is a good chance there would be an acquittal. And we're talking about, I mean, there's a significant difference here. It's not just playing with words, because we're questioning, is there really going to be an acquittal here? Can we read the minds of the criminal attorneys, criminal jurors? There are other pieces of evidence. Are those going to be important pieces of evidence? There's one eyewitness here. Is that eyewitness credible or incredible? Counsel mentioned that he testified at several places that he identified the defendant, but he also testified in many instances that he couldn't identify.
Would he have to prove some connection to the police officer's subsequent act at the time of this alleged coercion? Would you have to somehow reflect forward to what he did at stealing the drugs and then coming back to the time of this alleged coercion?
Well, this is the... Okay, if he's stealing the drugs, there's... The question would be, was he behaving in that manner at that time, and is that motive, and that there was a dispute about that as well. The issue there was whether the behavior after this occurred, after the murder took place and after the arrest, did that have an effect, or could the jurors reach the conclusion?
What was raised as far as his credibility during that trial?
Credibility meant that what credibility was that he was less believable as to denying that he committed this coercion, because he committed the subsequent criminal act.
So he was challenged as to whether or not he coerced, and it was brought out the fact that he had subsequently committed a serious crime with the drugs. And so all of that was before the jury then, right?
All that was before the jury.
And is based on his credibility, whether he's telling the truth or not. Isn't that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Any questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our fifth case for argument this morning.